The federal government takes two steps forward on ways to strengthen cyber networks for both the public sector and the private sector. The House of Representatives passes two bills to strengthen information sharing in the private sector. The Office of Management and Budget is asking for public input on ways to overhaul the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, or FITARA. You can read about both now on federalnewsradio.com. Chris Smith is Vice President of Technology for AT&T Government Solutions, former Chief Information Officer at the Department of Agriculture, and tracking progress on both fronts. Chris, it's great to talk to you. I'm happy to have you back on the program. Let's start with the FITARA piece of this first, because I think folks who are doing now the job that you used to do at Ag are wondering exactly what FITARA will mean for them, not according to the letter of the law, because I think we all understand that now, but in terms of what will actually happen and how well the FITARA law will be executed. What do you think of what you're seeing so far? Thanks for coming on, Chris.
Well, thanks, Francis. Good afternoon. You know, I think it's fantastic that we've got a reinforcement of the authorities for the Chief Information Officer. When you think about technology today as a strategic enabler to execute any mission, whether it's homeland security, natural resource protection, you know, sustainment of viable economic food supply at the right cost for the Department of Agriculture. Those authorities have been there under Clinger-Cohen, but there was some question as to whether or not the CIO was truly, you know, the one in charge of operations on a day-to-day basis. And I think this reinforces that. So I think it's very positive. I think it drives that seat at the table to a higher level. And it says not only is the accountability there, but the authority is there now as well.
So what did you do when you were at Ag to make sure that you didn't just have a seat at the table because you were supposed to legally, but that you were there because your peers at the table recognized that you were valuable to have there?
It was all about understanding what were the priorities in the mission that we needed to deliver upon, whether it was the Secretary's five strategic points or the Undersecretary of Farm and Foreign Agricultural Services or the Economic Research Service. Each one of those, while aligned, had a slightly unique role that they needed to carry out. So it was making sure that we understood in the information technology world what were those business priorities to deliver on the program and how could we quickly turn those priorities into sustainable wins. I think that's the secret to being not only invited to the table, but staying at the table, Francis.
And as time goes on, too, it strikes me that it's similar to success formula in anything, which is building and maintaining those relationships so that you don't have to be buddies with the chief financial officer, chief acquisition officer, and so on. It happens sometimes. But the fact that you become a trusted business partner with each of them and that your teams become trusted business partners with their teams seems to me to be maybe more important than whatever is delineated in a piece of legislation.
That's right. I think that's the accountability side of this, right? It's great to have the authority, which is reinforcing, but you got to be accountable. You've got to bring in a set of capabilities at the right cost that are going to perform, and you've got to do it quickly. That's where you get the invitation back to the table when people are constantly knocking on your door. When you deliver a valuable service that allows them to execute on the mission and focus on the next big thing that they've got coming at them, I think that's where it's at. And I think the law, FITARA, as laid out, does allow for that accountability and is asking for baselining, right, and for the measures that should be reviewed on an annual basis in addition to going through and looking at the portfolio. Because we have got to be more focused on culling out of the what I would call sustainment activities, the lights on and legacy environment, and free up more money to be innovative and to do those new things to continue to move the business forward.
Well, it seems to me as much of that, and something that's just as important as that from a resources money perspective is from a brain power and thought time perspective. If a lot of those kinds of activities are going to go to the cloud or going to go to fill in the blank as a service, then you as the CIO, as the thought leader of your organization, are going to really be driven to perform a different task list, a different skill set. You're not going to have to be thinking about operational stuff as much. And so it seems to me that you're going to be required by those peers to think in a more strategic way and in a more future thinking way rather than what do I have to do to keep the lights on?
I agree, and that's where the time should be spent. If you think about the world we live in, the rate at which we're becoming more and more connected, cloud allows us to do things faster, better, cheaper. We've got very cheap storage. The network now allows us to connect across those environments and really deliver a service context-based to a citizen wherever they may be, whether it's a firefighter out in the field protecting property, whether it's a Homeland Security Border Patrol individual who needs that best situational awareness as people are coming across the border, or if we're trying to move people through the borders more quickly from a customs and economic standpoint, right, that's available today. If you are worried about sitting back and trying to manage and maintain the operational infrastructure and the commodity side of this, right, which should already run like a utility, and that's not easy to do, but we have highly skilled individuals in the workforce that can do that. But it's now about picking an ecosystem of the best platforms, connecting them through that robust network, and then giving that information at the edge for whatever the job is that you're executing, whatever your mission is. That's what the CIO should be doing. It's about the value of new business functionality, better citizen engagement, better information to make decisions upon. And that is a reality today. That really, if you're sitting in your data center, right, and hugging the server and watching the lights, you're not going to be that valuable. You've got to be able to do that through benchmarks, right, at the right cost point, the right performance, the right security, and focusing on giving new capabilities and new functionality to the program to deliver their critically important missions.
Chris Smith of AT&T was Chief Information Officer at the Department of Agriculture, and we could do the whole rest of the conversation on compliance exercises versus ascertaining security. I wish we could, but I mentioned those two bills the House of Representatives passed, Chris, and it strikes me that this is another step following on to what we saw last fall and winter, which was the House deciding even if the Senate insists, which now under Republican leadership it doesn't appear they're going to, but even if the Senate insists they want to pass one huge bill, we're going to pass the pieces that we can get 218 or more votes on and try to do something in this particular case about the way the government interacts with the private sector to exchange information. I'm not going to ask you to comment on the political implications of that, but do you see this as progress that at least the government's indicating they want to try to establish a viable framework to exchange threat information with the private sector?
100%. I think this is the next critical piece in a puzzle that's going to make our unified defense of our critical information infrastructure that much stronger. We talked back over the holidays about how the FedRAMP modernization bill, some authorities to Homeland Security, how they were incremental, but 100% in the right direction. Well, this is that next step, and I think it's critically important. I think of it from two perspectives. One, having sat behind the desk of a cabinet-level CIO that you've alluded to at the Department of Agriculture, and the other is as a vice president of technology for AT&T. And we, as a global leader, looking at vital information networks, how can we together across government and industry best protect our economy, our way of life, our intellectual property? We're under a constant barrage from hacktivists, criminal activities, nation states. And so this next set of bills, right, we're going to have to see them conference because two of them are very similar coming out of the House. But they're 100% in the right direction, and that's providing multi-directional information sharing on threat indicators and defensive measures from the government to industry and from industry back to government with the right balance and protections for consumer information and citizens' information. So it's got privacy in there. And then it's got liability protection on top of that, which is a demand that's been out there for quite a while. So I think when these bills are conferenced and come together with a Senate-approved bill, we're going to be putting that very strong piece of the puzzle and really paints the picture that's going to allow us to be really unified in our defense and better protect our nation, as I said, our economy, and our citizens.
Your analysis is right on point, I think, Chris. I only have one concern about that concept, not what you said, but about the way that it will play itself out. And that is, you talk about the constant barrage of attacks, and that's certainly true. I don't get a sense in the private sector, at least, and maybe it's true in government too, that that's really done anything to remove the stigma of suffering a breach. And I would fear that that would continue to be a barrier for private sector companies wanting to share information with the government for fear of what it might make them look like.
Well, I think it's a balance. The attacks do continue. They're persistent. There's a lot of effort in the activities and finding the links that they can to move in and take the information that they're seeking, whether it's financial or intellectual property. The question is, how much do an organization really want to expose on what's occurred? The laws are in place already for releasing when breaches have occurred. I think those are there. The question is when organizations lose financial losses that are outside of consumer protections, how much do we want to share that presents more information that opens up other avenues for attack? So I think we've got to balance it. We 100% have to have the right privacy barriers and privacy release pieces within the law, but we also need to allow organizations to protect the information that they need to so that they can't or are not more open to other attacks.